Now, accessibility within the arts world is improving, slowly but surely, for both artists and consumers of art who do have a disability. This is thanks especially to a bunch of organisations who are working tirelessly to ensure that there are minimal barriers, like disability support organisation Participate Australia. On top of their regular work, which does include supported living, life skills and community engagement programs, they run For Art's Sake, an inclusive and annual exhibition. Entry is encouraged for people of all abilities, and it is closing at the end of May. Right now, I've got Peter Schneider from Participate Australia on the line to tell us a little bit more. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, could you tell me a little bit about the history of For Art's Sake?
Yes, it was first held about 10 years ago, pretty exactly. This is the ninth year we're running it. We skipped 1 year a couple of years ago for organisational reasons. The idea initially was just to create a space for artists of all abilities to just exhibit their art and have it judged by merit and not by name. And we stuck all the art into an art gallery in Marrickville in the Addison Road Centre, and were surprised that we sold everything within a few hours. It was a huge buzz. At the time, it was a totally different format. We've changed that format over the years, and the last few years, we've had a format where we're engaging and practicing artists with people with intellectual disabilities, and give them an opportunity to create a piece of art in consultation with each other and in collaboration. So the pieces that you'll see at the exhibition have been created by two people at the very least, in some cases by more than two. One of them is an artist and a practicing artist, and the other one or two will be a person with an intellectual disability.
It does sound absolutely amazing. Is there anything, I guess, different about this year that makes it stand out?
Well, this year we're very fortunate that one of our sponsors has very generously donated $10,000 to be carved up into three art prizes for $3,000 each and $1,000 for People's Choice Award. And so we're able to actually do two things with that. One is we can recognize the great efforts and great achievements of the artists that will be selected for the exhibition. And the other, because it's an arts prize this year, also means that when we sell a piece of art, we'll actually go halves with the artists that have created the piece. And so it's not only an exhibition of inclusive art and a fundraiser for our organization, it's also an opportunity for emerging artists to have their piece, their work exhibited, and to have, the learnings made as well if the piece sells.
And how difficult, I guess, is it for an artist who does suffer from some form of disability to get their art out there as opposed to an artist who doesn't have any of these restrictions?
Well, look, it depends a little bit on what art and who you are. Like every other artist, I guess, if you have an opportunity to exhibit your art somewhere, then usually you're already recognize that you're, an emerging or up-and-coming artist. Artists with disabilities typically exhibit their art in an exhibition that is exclusively for people with disabilities. And we take the view that that's not necessarily the best way of going about it. And this is why we're inviting artists of all abilities to participate in this exhibition and to submit pieces. Whether they do this solo or whether they do this in a collaboration is totally up to them. The idea really is that we start to do away with those walls between the people with disability and the people without disability, and we're trying to do it in this way.
And so do you think that there's any other steps that the arts community is going to need to make to, I guess, help normalise disability within the arts?
Oh, I think we'd be unfairly targeting the arts community if we said the arts community has a duty of, care in that regard. The community in general has a duty in that respect. We are more and more, of course, embracing of people with differing abilities, but it is still a city that is tremendously difficult to navigate if you have a disability, because we're not really ready yet to provide the support in the general community, that people with disabilities need. And the same transpires through the arts. If you're an up-and-coming artist, struggling to have your art exhibited, at least you've got the energy and the skill and the knowledge to find your way around the internet and to find galleries and work in collectives and so on. But all of these avenues aren't really open to people with disabilities, to people with intellectual disabilities in particular, because they're not accessible. And if you're looking around for a space to exhibit your art or to create your art or to join a collective, and you have an intellectual disability, your literacy skills aren't particularly strong, you might not understand cognitively, what some of the stuff means that you find on the internet. There's just no chance.
And just before I do let you go, Peter, how do people get involved in this year's For Art's Sake?
Well, the easiest and quickest will be to hop online, go for artsake.org.au. That's forartsake.org.au, and have a look around our website. There's a page about the arts prizes. There's a page about the terms and conditions, which are really important because there's certain rules that we have to stick by regardless of the creativity of this whole event. Hop online today. You've got a couple of weeks to submit your piece. And fingers crossed that everyone that submits a piece will be in the exhibition. The exhibition's on the 28th of June at the Design Centre Enmore in Edgware Road in Enmore.
And we'll pop all the links up on the podcast. Peter, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks, Tess. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.